These the traditional desk copies. Get almost.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, The Holy Spirit's Purpose.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior, on this great Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Amen. Now, we often sing that great hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You like that hymn? Today, I think we could sing a hymn also as equally great called What a Friend We Have in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit sent to us from on high. Today, let's talk about what a great friend he is. Remember, Jesus said he's another counselor like himself to be with us forever. What kind of a friend do we have in the Spirit? And how is he an advantage, a benefit, a great aid and help to us that we are the better for his presence? What are the purposes of the Holy Spirit towards you? And here especially, why should we focus on the Holy Spirit? Is that for Lutherans to do? Do we focus on the Holy Spirit? Or is that just for Pentecostals? You know, as Lutherans, we focus on God the Father and especially Jesus Christ. We're always talking about justification by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is not just for Pentecostals to focus on the Spirit. It's for you. It's for me. It's a Christian thing to do, to focus on the Spirit. And so let's take a look at that today and see what God would teach us about that on this great day of Pentecost. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? He is the third person of the Trinity. You know, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's three distinct persons, only one God. It's a great mystery. I can't entirely explain that to you, but the Holy Spirit's the third person of the Trinity, and who is he? He is God himself, God's own Spirit. Remember when Ananias was trying to lie to the Holy Spirit, and Peter says to him, Ananias, you've not lied to the Holy Spirit. I mean, you've not lied to men, but to God. Namely, the Holy Spirit is God. What form does he take? Here's the quiz for you. What form does the Holy Spirit take in Scripture? The only time he ever takes form, Wilma, do you know? At Jesus' baptism, he came down in the form of a dove. He came down from heaven in the form of a dove. Now, why a dove? Remember when Noah was on the ark and he sent the dove out and it came back bearing an olive branch. He is the symbol of purity. The dove is also the symbol of peace, the olive branch, and of hope and new life for Noah. So he is also for us. That's the Holy Spirit who we're talking about today. Now, next thing is, why was he sent to us? Jesus tells us he's an advantage for you. It's great to have me with you. I'm a counselor, but I'm sending you another one, and this is even to your advantage. Greater than if I were here myself. The Holy Spirit. When was he given? What would you say? When was the Holy Spirit given? Well, he was with the apostles during their lives. He's with you. Jesus says he will be in you. Even on the very day when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, remember in John chapter 20, he came and appeared to them and said, peace be with you. And he breathed upon them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So even on the very day when Christ was raised from the dead, he gave them the Holy Spirit, but he was not power poured out upon them in power from on high until the day of Pentecost, when they prayed and the place was shaken in a whirling wind and tongues of fire, and they went out filled with the Holy Spirit to preach salvation in Jesus Christ to the people, and they saved 3,000 souls that day. Repent, believe the gospel, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you guys have the Holy Spirit today? Have you repented, believed in the Lord, and been baptized? The Holy Spirit is in you. the one whom we're talking about today. Next question is, why should we focus on the Holy Spirit, though? I mean, should we be Lutheran in our theology with a Pentecostal spirit concerning? I know Peggy would say yes. How about the rest of you? Why should we focus on the Spirit as Christians? Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 8 and see if this is a Christian thing to do. We read in Romans 8, verse 6. We read, Paul says, to set the mind upon the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Do you set your mind on the Spirit or on the things of this world? What happens if you set your mind on the things of this world? Man, it's like you're covered in a big cloak of sadness, isn't it? I mean, we all have our problems in life. You've all got yours. But then we see these commentators, be it the news or people we see on the internet, and they're constantly telling us about all the evil there is in the world. What's Bill Gates up to this week? George Soros, Klaus Schwab. And then we hear the news talking about the FBI, the CIA, and then we hear CNN, MSNBC, ABC, and all those three-letter things. Whenever you hear something that's three letters together, there's trouble right here in River City. If you set your mind upon those things, as even many Christians are accustomed to do in our days, why are we surprised if a damp, drizzly November comes over our soul and we begin to be very dismal and gloomy as if under an overcast sky? Come on. Is that your experience? You know, we hear in that hymn, that song, that children's song of Christians, I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the time. I wrote a new one, if you focus on the Spirit. You want to hear that? I mean, on the world. It would be this. I'm upset, angry, downcast, frustrated, gloomy all the time. A big black cloud settles over your life if you set your mind upon the flesh. If you set your mind on the Spirit, you get an entirely different character. A whole different world opens up to you of rays of sunlight pouring down onto you as you focus on the good in the higher places that the Spirit is doing in your life. God's got much greater things for you in your life than angst and irritation, okay? The Spirit, focusing upon Him, God has for you glory, joy, love, and great power for you. Wouldn't you rather have that? So instead of those things, let's focus on the Spirit today. Set our minds upon Him, and it's a bright, sunshiny day. So take a look at the Holy Spirit. What should we focus on about the Holy Spirit in our lives, fixing our eyes upon Him? Well, let's consider how He is a great friend to you. How is the Holy Spirit a great friend and an advantage to you as a Christian? Well, the first thing we read that He does in the Scriptures, in John 16 anyway, Jesus says this. He says, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Counselor would not come to you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. What does that mean? The word for convince there is the word eleiko in the Greek, which means not just He's like going to nudge you or convince you of something. It means He's going to, with a gavel, convict you of wrongdoing to your shame. He's going to convict the world about their sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. How's He going to do that? He's going to first preach the law to the world through His preachers. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is a preacher? That's His chief office. He's going to convict the world of its sin, Jesus says, because I go to the Father. In other words, he says, unbelief in Me is what's condemning you, O world. It's lack of faith in Jesus Christ that condemns you to hell. So the Holy Spirit works to convict you to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. The second thing it says, he's going to convince the world or convict it concerning righteousness, because the world thinks their righteousness is going to save them. Jesus says, you're not even close. That's a total disaster. It's trash. Your good deeds are just filthy garments before me. You need a righteousness from on high, the gift of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of its own righteousness and saying, turn to the righteousness of Christ for salvation. And then he'll convict the world concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. In other words, the Spirit preaches the devil is doomed to eternal fire, and so are all who follow him. So repent, follow not him, but the Christ, and lead you into life. So the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world. Do you rejoice in that today? Set your mind. Has he done that with you? Are you still leaning on your own righteousness? Or going after sin? Following the devil? Not you. You have the Spirit, because he's done this work in you. Let's rejoice in that today. It's a bright, sunshiny day. Because he doesn't just preach to you the law to convict. He preaches to you as well the gospel to save you. So this is you before you were saved, before the Holy Spirit came. What does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus saved you at the cross long ago. But that's not going to do you any good until it comes to you personally in the preaching of the gospel. So he comes, and he's lit. He comes down from heaven with the light of the gospel and preaches it to you, creates faith in you, and you come alive. Are you not rejoicing in that today? What happened at Pentecost, remember? Peter preaches the law. You killed the Christ. Then he says, but God raised him up from the dead. And then he preaches at another place. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everybody who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. And they came and preached. He preached that with power through the apostles. So he is the light of God in the gospel to create faith in you. Are you saved? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? He has brought you out of death into life. He doesn't just do that once for you. He actually every day, daily, and richly forgives you all your sins. The devil is always accusing us. Oh, what a bad person I am. Guilt and trying to make me think I'm not a Christian. The Holy Spirit every day is fluttering over you with the wings of peace, pushing onto you the airs of heaven, saying, look at the gospel, that in him you have grace, unmerited favor, the kindness, the good disposition of God. He has died for your sins, Christ has, and he has saved you, received the forgiveness of your sins and the peace of heaven that passes all understanding. He's daily and richly forgiving you all your sins and convincing you of your salvation in Jesus Christ. Do you rejoice in that one? Amen. What else does he do? He comes in the waters of baptism. Look at this. I got the water here. And Jesus says, unless a person be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. But if you are baptized of water and of the Spirit, you can. In other words, he comes to give us, if you will, our certificate, our passports into heaven, our baptismal certificate to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. John, are you baptized? You were baptized at another place, baptized your brother, but are you marked as one redeemed by Christ? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Imagine this is heaven up here, God's great throne room. You can't just walk in, anybody. You've got to be a believer and baptized. Baptized at his name. I have the passport. You can now enter into the very throne room of God, even now in prayer, and on the last day and of your life, go up into the presence of God by the Holy Spirit. What does he do for you in baptism, by the way? He washes you of your sins. He applies Jesus Christ to you. He gives you new birth and a brand new life. And we Lutherans teach that he does that even for us every day, giving us new life in him. For you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. So a new life he is giving to you. Newness, hope, peace, a fresh breeze from heaven. A new creation he makes you every day. Do you rejoice in him for this? Isn't that better than CNN? The next thing he does for us is when he gives us new life in baptism, he then takes the shepherd's staff because he's another counselor. Jesus is the good shepherd. Amen, Jane? But you know, he doesn't just bring you to birth and leave you like a stillborn and say, grow up on your own. He says, now follow me. I am here to guide you every step of the way. God has sent me personally down to you to stand with you your whole life long. I'm a counselor who will never leave you. I am a friend indeed. He is a comforter, a guardian, a guide. If there is a wolf or a lamb attacking you, off he goes and he defends you against it. And then he speaks to you and leads you through your life. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 8, when Philip is living his life and he hears the word from the angel, go down and to this desert road on the way down to Gaza from Jerusalem. And then the Spirit, while he's on the road, says to him, go up and join this chariot over here. And he goes up and he joins the chariot and he saves that Ethiopian eunuch. And he preaches to him the gospel and the man is baptized and another soul is saved. He leads you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's with you every day, speaking in your ear, whispering to you, saying, this is the way. Walk in it, whether you turn to the right or to the left. And he's guiding you. He's from God himself, your escort, your guarantee to make sure you get through life and to heaven. What a great friend he is, a friend indeed. We'll put the shepherd's staff up here. And where else does he lead you, by the way? He's not just leading you down desert roads and stuff. He's leading you to those places where he works. Where does he work? What is this a picture of? The church. Do you know if you actually skip church, you're resisting the Holy Spirit? Sleep in? Well, he says, don't sleep in. Come here. This is where I work. You know, he's not working on your comfort. It's not the Holy Comforter called your pillow. It's the Holy Comforter called the church. What does he do? He preaches to you here in this place. His word, like he's doing right now through me. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He then gives you the confession of your sins, and he absolves you of your sins, daily, richly forgiving you. He gives you the creed that builds up your faith. He gives you the company of the faithful that builds up your faith. He gives you the Lord's Supper that then feeds you and nurtures you with the true drink and the true food as you're marching to Zion so that nothing can defeat you. You're an army from God and unstoppable, invincible in the Spirit. So don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't neglect to meet together, says the author of Hebrews. Some people do that, he says. But let's encourage each other, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. So he leads you, not just to desert roads, he leads you to church. You're in the right place. You're here today because of the Holy Spirit. He brought you here. He's preaching to you. And what is he aiming to do? Uphold you in the faith, make you the stronger for it, and brighten your life, that you not be just living under a cloud, but in the sunshine from heaven. May he lift up your souls and enjoy the day. What else does he do? He's transforming you into the image of Christ. Now, I combed my hair this morning. I hope it's still there. But, you know, and when you look at yourself in the mirror, you don't really like how you look sometimes, right? But you know what? The Holy Spirit's job, he's going to take you from looking like a kitten to making you look like a lion. That's what he's after, because he's transforming you into the image of your King, Jesus Christ, who is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he's only going to be done when you look like a lion. Do you want to be a lion or a little purring kitten through your life? Well, then come to church and set your eyes upon the Spirit. He will make you mighty so that none can stand against you all the days of your life. Like Joshua, I was with him, with Moses, so shall I be with you, Joshua, and you shall conquer everyone in your way. So he's transforming you daily into the image of Jesus Christ. Isn't this better than MSNBC? He says, get with me on my mission now in this new life, and I'm going to give you gifts. Because it says in Corinthians that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit who apportions them to each, to everyone individually as he wills. Have you opened up your presents? What's the Lord given to you? You're like the superheroes, right? Each one had a different power. Superman can fly. Aquaman, I used to like him. He could swim, talk to the fish, whales. You have Flash, he's really fast. They all had different gifts. You all have different gifts. I don't have yours, you don't have mine, but all together, we're a super team. And open up those gifts, whatever they may be, and there may be gifts that you haven't even really developed yet. What powers are almost latent or waiting inside you to be awakened? Power of the Spirit lifted up and made even stronger in Christ than you are today. The gifts of the Spirit he gives to you as you go on your way in service to him. And then his purpose with you is then to see you all the way through to the end. Look at this. This is a little medal. Okay, we used in Vacation Bible School, but we got a prize. We're on a race. The Holy Spirit is your power. He's like a cheerleader, a constant encourager to run alongside you, to run inside of you, to give you the strength and say, when you fall down, get up again. Get up. Get up, Christian. Get up, soldier. You can do it. He's the encourager, the other counselor, the other one like Christ who makes you to run. And he is called in the Bible the guarantee and the down payment of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. He's there to see to it as your personal escort and guarantee that you attain the prize of God at the end, which is the kingdom. And at the last day, one more thing, what is he going to do? Romans chapter 8. If the Spirit of him who dwells within you, that raised Christ from the dead, if his Spirit dwells in you, that same Spirit that's inside your heart right now, he personally will see to it that he raises you from the dead at the last day. I use this in the wedding yesterday, but for a different purpose. We are like a little seed right now, you little seedlings. You're just little tiny seeds. You're planted in the earth at the moment. At the last day, when your body has been thus returned to the earth into dust, the Spirit that's within you today, that same Spirit has promised, I'll raise you up, and you're going to come up with a new body, and that one glorious. And what's that body going to look like? It's going to be like unto the same body that God gives to his Son, Jesus Christ. You couldn't have a better one. It's going to look like Christ's. He'll raise you up at the last day. So, in conclusion then today, do you really want to live like most people today under a dark cloud, an overcast day, a dismal, rainy experience? Put away from you the flesh and setting your mind upon it. Set your mind rather upon the Spirit, that the great sunlight and rays of his joy, his love, his peace, what the Spirit is after in your life would be before your eyes. Yeah, what a friend we have in Jesus. But I'll tell you, what a friend we have in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Holy Spirit's Purpose, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
You are